Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Landis Maitland-Whitelaw. He's a musician, composer, recording artist, and sound engineer. He currently has two albums, Top Hat, Black Tie, 1 EP. Walking through the Heather 1 and single Musings on COVID to his credit, and he's currently working at putting all his compositions on his website, along with the notation of each composition. He's also working on a third album in Tales that will finish off his trilogy of Top Hat, Black Tie, and Tales.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Landis. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Sorontos. Yourself?
I'm doing good, my friend. It's getting chilly in Chicago. How's the weather up by you?
Well, we just finished a huge storm, so we have, I'm in Vancouver, BC, so we have boats up on the beach and everything. It's incredible.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been to Vancouver once. I love Vancouver. Really cool place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Yeah, it really is. I've heard there's a ton of movies that are made there, and it's just very scenic.
Absolutely. Hollywood of the North.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your story, my friend. How did you get started?
Well, I started my musical journey when I was 12 years old. I asked my parents for a guitar for Christmas, and I selected one out of a bonus magazine that my dad got from work and whatnot. So it came with a book. And I didn't really do much with that for the first year. So when I was 13, I asked if I could take lessons on the instrument. And so they sent me to lessons. So I went up to a little music store called Aeolian Music way, way back in the day. And Bob Hampton was my teacher. And I took lessons with him for 3 years. And when I left my lessons there, Bob told me, he said, now, with all of the information you know about music, he says, you know more about music than the Beatles do at that time. So talk about confidence booster, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. And I quickly started arranging songs for the guitar, you know, from piano music and stuff like that. And when I hit high school, I joined the band. They didn't have guitars back then in high school, so I took up the saxophone. And so I had some work in with the band at that particular time, did very well in music and whatnot. And going on from there, got a part-time job from a friend of mine who went on holidays during the summer. So I worked the summer for him. And I saved up enough money to buy an upgraded guitar. So I bought a Harmony guitar with F-shaped holes on it. And I think the thing was bigger than I was, because I remember my arm stretching around it to play it. But I just fell in love with that instrument.
That's great. Yeah.
And so when I was in high school, joined a band. didn't join a band, because I always had a hard time getting into bands. So I always made my own. So put a group of people together, and we used to play at the school a bit and things like that. And when I hit my 20s, our bands were playing in for weddings and banquets and things like that. And because of that, I wanted to because you always had them clearing the table, and I would always like to play some music while they're doing that as background music. So I took a year of classical guitar to kind of learn how to play guitar stylings just by myself, if I needed to. So that's how I got into the classical guitar end of it, and so going on from that, hit into my 30s, and I took a summer session at the university on musical theory to help understand a little bit about that. Basically, I'm a self-taught sort of guy. I did take the 3 years of guitar lessons and a year of classical guitar lessons, but other than that, pretty much hit the books myself.
Yeah.
And and then when I was when I decided, I want to start doing some recording to put this music that I love to play and to write down on on recordings and stuff. So I thought I do a wide variety of music. Most of it is instrumental. So I have the classical guitar stuff. I used to go out and play banquets and things like that. And so I had a big repertoire there. So I made my first album, Top Hat. And I thought, well, after I do Top Hat, I want to do the next love of my life, and that is the electric guitar. So with my band I had at the time, we put together an instrumental album called Black Tie, and that's where that particular came from. So more of my compositions are on that album. One of my friend's compositions are on it. One of my son's compositions are on Black Tie. And then I thought, to finish off that, I wanted Top Hat, Black Tie, and Tails. So Tails, I'm still working on. Hopefully, I'll get it out by next year, early next year. And it is guitar with other instruments. So I wrote a guitar concerto. So you'll find guitar with strings, guitar with double bass, guitars with, all sorts of different instruments, handbells,
yeah,
and things like that. So it's a big work.
Sounds
to
great,
get
Landis.
Done.
Yeah, that sounds great. Do you teach at all?
I used to, but my job at the when I was working and whatnot, I was mostly night shifts and stuff, so it wasn't conducive to the same time every day. So I had the odd student that I took on. There's one girl that was taking lessons in the for classical guitar, and she wanted to proceed a little bit farther ahead than what she was able to do with the teacher at hers. So she came to me, and I taught her for a while, and she wanted to go into a competition, a classical guitar competition. So I introduced a song that I call Sunshine. It's the first song I ever wrote. It's an instrumental. Sounds great on all guitars, by the way. And she played that, and I taught her how to play it, how to interpret it, etc. And she actually won first prize at a competition playing my tune. So I was quite proud of her for that.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
Tell our audience a little bit about the difference between instrumental or music that goes with lyrics.
Okay, when you're talking about the you love lyrics. I mean, you said that's in your introduction and whatnot. My lyrics are melody. Okay.
Okay.
When you sing your songs and stuff, you have melody. You're putting words to those melodies. I, on the other hand, am not putting words. I'm doing it as an instrumental. So I have the melodies that I want to portray. Just like you would sing something, I would play it that way. And with the backgrounds, the variety of different backgrounds, the instruments that you put together, is no different than you would do when you're doing a vocal recording.
Yeah, okay. And tell our audience a little bit. Some of them are obviously musicians, some are not. What is the different structure for instrumentals? People kind of think of a pop song. It's got verse, pre-chorus, chorus. Can you comment a little bit about your typical structure for instrumentals, how long they are? What's the typical structure so that they can kind of learn something?
Well, pretty much I would say that there's nothing typical about typical structure of an instrumental. It depends on the instrumental, like Musings on COVID. That is a electric guitar instrumental, and it's basically built on two parts.
Okay.
Whereas a common pop tune would have your verses, your chorus, right?
Yeah.
And verse, chorus, and then an ending. Well, it's very similar to that. But if you happen to be writing an orchestral score, it could be a number of different parts. And like my concerto, it's not only different parts, it has three different sections in it, a fast, a slow, and a medium fast. So, and each one of those would have its own characteristics, like A, B, C, A, B, or something like that, which is really what you're talking about is verse, chorus, verse, and an outro. So if you think about it, all in the same, the formats aren't that different.
Yeah. Okay. Can you explain a little bit to some of the people that are just getting started in this business, what do you think is the biggest advice you can give them if they're starting out?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you have to look at is, what do you want to play? I wanted to play the guitar. I just had this infinity for this really cool looking instrument. And so pick an instrument that you like. That's much better than having your parents say, you're going to play the piano because we have one.
Yeah.
That happened to my brother, and he didn't last very long. And that made my parents say, we're not doing this to any of our kids. And there are six kids in our family. So we actually had to say, I want to play whatever it is that I want to play. And then they would support that, which I think is really, really good. Bearing in mind is that once you've started it, don't be afraid to try other instruments too. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. So I play classical guitar, folk guitar, electric guitar. I also play clarinet, and there's three different types of clarinets that I play. I play saxophone. I started out with a B-flat tenor sax, and now on a alto sax. And then the nice thing about that is that every instrument that you select, it enables you to think differently about approaching music.
Sure.
On my sax, I approach it way different than I do on the guitar. In fact, I probably play more jazzy numbers on the sax because that's just the way my mind works, So it opens up far better doors for you and whatnot. And music is a fabulous thing to pursue because, like even if you're not, especially if you're not doing this as a career, which my father said never do, you have to eat, so get a good job.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's valid. I mean, that is valid too. But the music in mine helped me in a high stress job that I had. I came home, played my music, de-stressed with my music. It allowed me, it opened doors that I would go to banquets and concerts and different functions and stuff. People would actually hire me to go to these places that I'd never even dream of going to if it wasn't for the music trail that it sent for me. So
sure,
it opens those doors, and that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. How do you figure out, obviously you write enough music and instrumentals, how do you figure out if you're going to release something or if you're just going to put it in the maybe pile or if you're just going to bury it and never let it see the light of day because you just didn't like it?
Well, that's interesting that you do that. When I, I'll get a musical idea, okay? And I had one and I called it Divertimento number one, and that's a classical way of saying this is a musical idea. And so it was like seven bars long or eight bars long, period. And I took that whole idea and I made a complete work with it. So it wasn't just put into the drawer. That actually helped me flush it out and make another work that I call just, you know, just another day in life. That's what I called it.
Sure.
And, yeah. and it's a cool tune. So, you know, like just putting it away because I didn't like it. There's always something about something that you write that you like. And the whole thing is to flush that out and make it work. When I'm doing an album and whatnot, and Tales that I'm working on right now, that's guitar with other instruments. So I go through the stuff that I've written and whatnot, and I touch it again. And every time I open up a composition of mine and I touch it again, there are changes being made. It's as long as I live, these things seem to change.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're updated. I hope they get a little bit better and whatnot. So the whole idea is if you're going to release an album, have a theme. Like, what are you trying to say in this album? My first one was, this is the classical guitar repertoire that I play. My second one is, this is the music that I play with my buddies in my band. And the third one is, I've got an electric guitar or guitars that I play and whatnot, and I like to feature with different instruments. And writing anything from classical music, I mean, I've done full orchestras, all the way down to pop music, gives you a wide range of things to select and to work with. And one of the things that I really strive to do is on my albums is have variety in these albums, in the album that I put out.
Sure.
I don't want to put on an album and of mine and play one song and then you've heard them all. And we've all heard albums like that. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Variety in each one of them, because people like to go on a journey on your song, and they like to go on a journey on or in your album or on your album. So look at your album as writing a song, you know.
Yeah.
Take them on a journey, beginning, middle, to end.
And this, so I think that's a great point about variety. I agree. Different keys, different BPMs, everything's different. So I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to your song, and then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Okay.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. Landis, that was a really cool song, man. Thank you so much for sharing it with our audience tonight.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you. So before I forget, give us your contact information. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it? Where can they find out more about you?
Well, my website, I mean, that's the best place to go and see the wide variety of stuff. It's LandisMaitlandWhitelaw.com. There's no spaces, no hyphens in it at all, just all one big long word, LandisMaitlandWhitelaw.com. And there you can see my albums, the links to my albums. Any digital store, you can listen to my songs and you can purchase them in there. So if you go on Spotify or Apple Music or iTunes, wherever you go, this has been distributed to, so it'll be there waiting for you. And on my website, if you're interested in other of my compositions or songs that I've written but aren't on albums, you go into my shop area and I have them listed there, or some of them listed there anyway. I'm working on it, and you click on the graphic and you can actually hear a representation of that song. And if you're a notation reader, I have the notation available on the website too at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, awesome. So give us a little shout out. What are you working on other than your CDs that you want to share with the fans? Anything special that you're working on that's going to come out in the next 6 months?
Well, right now I'm working on the album, and one of the songs that I'm working on is called Divertimento Number One. And so we talked about that's a musical idea, and it is a classical guitar with strings and flute in it. And it's very challenging for me to play it, but I'm having a really, really good time going over and playing it. So that's what I'm working on right now, because that whole thing is to get it out by the beginning of next year. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So how do you balance work, life, music? How do you balance everything?
Well, right now, as it comes to working, I'm retired. Yeah, I'm an old geezer, so...
So never old for music, though. Never old for music.
Exactly. No kidding. So I'm at a stage in my life now where I can actually sit down and concentrate on my music, whereas before I used to balance it is I would go to work and I would come home and I would play, and I would have a group of friends that I play with, so that on the weekend you can go out, sit down, have a nice social with your friends and play and whatnot. And even here in Vancouver, retired and whatnot, I get together with some neighbors that live very close to me here, and we play from time to time. Back when COVID first started, and we hate to talk about that, but musings on COVID, that's what it's all about. I used to go out on my patio with my saxophone, and I used to play one tune while everybody banged their pots. And so probably after about the next year, I mean, when it got cold, I wasn't able to do that. But the next spring and whatnot, I had a neighbor join me on flute and keyboards. And then later on, a bass player and a guitar player came. Now we have a cellist that wants to come and become involved in it too. So it's just kind of a neighborhood grow, and it's really cool. We actually had a block watch party where our band played for. So we played for a couple of hours, and everybody just, because of COVID, we couldn't have food and all that kind of stuff that we normally do, but they came and listened at a nice distance away, and it was very successful. People really, really appreciated that.
That's cool, Landis. So, yeah. Landis, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I had a great time, and I hope the audience enjoyed you half as much as I did.
Well, I enjoyed being on, and thank you so much, Sorrento, for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of your interviews. So take good care.
Thank you, Landis. So to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in and spending a little time with me and Landis tonight. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. And tonight I'm going to leave you with one of my instrumentals called Journey Through the Clouds. It's peaceful and calming, and I love listening to it anytime I'm flying up in the clouds, staring out the airplane windows. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love you guys. Have a great night, everyone.
Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.